Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Essential.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're live on December 30th here. David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We're going to be live again tomorrow as well. We're going to have a special guest joining us here at 9:13, Rabbi Chaim Brook, calling in to discuss Hanukkah. I've been talking a little bit this morning about the Montana Department of Commerce through the Board of Housing allocating more than $37 million in housing tax credits. Now, to be fair to the Montana Department of Commerce, this is federal dollars. At least that's my understanding. This is not coming from the state. But you're looking at $6.5 million for 20 homes in Bozeman, $6.5 million for 20 homes in Dillon, and issues like that. We've got John in Kalispell on the line to talk a little bit about his thoughts on some of this. John, thanks for hanging with us.
You bet. Thank you, David. So the thing is with development, one, you have to look at the cost of submitting any type of development to a city for planning and what their planning costs are. I know up in Kalispell, it is about $33,000, $34,000 just to submit an application to the city of Kalispell for roughly 96 units. That's just to start out with, and that doesn't include any of the land or anything like that. So the developer has to do that. So you have to break down this $325,000 because I will almost guarantee you that that is just a subsidy for those developers to build those homes. Secondly, you have to look at all the impact fees that the cities charge. You're looking at Bozeman is probably about $14,000 to $20,000 just for impact fees that they're charging for each home being built or
Let's say that is the case that and that $320,000 that John is mentioning comes from taking the $6.5 million and dividing it by the 20 houses that it's supposed to pay for in these four or five different communities here in Montana. But let's say that what you're saying is right, and that $6.5 million for those 20 affordable housing units is nothing more than just a subsidy to the developer to sort of offset some of those fees and costs that you're talking about. What would be your concern if that was the case?
Well, the concern is then what are they actually going to, one, how big are the homes? What are they going to charge for those homes? And everybody loves to use the word, quote, affordable. Well, affordable is in the eye of the beholder. So if you've got $325,000 subsidy down in Dillon, a $325,000 subsidy in Bozeman for the same 20 units, then
that makes no
what
sense.
Is yeah, the cost that of that home?
No, that's a good point. Hey, John, we're up against the break. Thanks so much for calling in and for the insight. Really good information to have. I mean, I go back to the whole point originally. It's like, I don't support government projects. I don't want people living in the projects. Living in the projects isn't the best thing to happen. Government funding of the projects usually doesn't end up that well. So unfortunately, we're getting some more projects here.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We are going to take you into January of 2025 with some great content, great guests, great hosts, and of course, your phone calls. David Noble will be in the house. Scott Aspenlighter in the house as well. So stay tuned to Montana Talks right here on your favorite radio station on through 2024, right into 2025 with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana.
Thank you.
taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. I'm hoping to get Rabbi Chaim Bruck on the phone here to talk about Hanukkah. Rabbi out of Bozeman, obviously a regular here on Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. But in the meantime, I wanted to talk about, it's so weird. I was doing the prep for today's show, and I started looking at news stories. And oddly, it seems like there's just a lot of crazy stuff out of Bozeman, or at least a lot of news out of Bozeman, because not only was there a news story about how Bozeman's going to have all these new DUI officers on the street and everything like that, but also Bozeman is banning fireworks for New Year's. Bozeman Deputy Chief Fire Marshal Scott Muller basically believes in banning all fireworks at all times and not allowing any Americans to use fireworks. And so what he said is that nationally, there are many injuries and deaths due to fireworks. Ideally, the best way to watch fireworks is a public display. So I guess there in Bozeman, you don't have the freedom to use fireworks if you want. But that was one news story that was out there. We've got Rabbi Chaim Bruck on the phone. Rabbi, thanks so much for calling.
Of course. Happy Hanukkah to all the listeners.
Happy Hanukkah to you.
A lot of different holidays.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah to you, too.
Thank you. On day number 5, and, you know, I normally have my check-in with Aaron, but he says he has a wonderful guy sitting in for him. So I said, let's do it. We gotta spread the...
That's good, and I always remind Aaron that one time he referred to me as the great David Noble, and so I hold him to that. But hey, I saw in the news, it looked like Governor Gene Forte was over there in Bozeman and participating. Can you tell our listeners a little about what happened there?
Sure. You know, in our tradition, the entire purpose of the Hanukkah celebration is to kindle lights in the public domain, specifically at night when the candles really shine. And the message of that is really that, and that's for all religions, is that the idea that light always outshines darkness. It's very easy to get caught up in the darkness. Very easy to get caught up in the negative news. And the story of Hanukkah tells us that even if a small minority of people like the Maccabees back then were willing to fight for their religious freedom and shine those candles, God helps us with miracles and allows the candles to shine even greater than we could have imagined. And so Saturday night we had a menorah lighting in Bozeman. We had Governor Greg Gianforte and First Lady Susan Gianforte there. He spoke to the crowd. He lit the lead candle on the menorah, on the candelabra, because he's the leader of our state. We also had the mayor of Bozeman, Terry Cunningham, there. There was a beautiful menorah lighting last night in Billings at the courthouse. We have all over the state. Today it's going to be in Big Sky. Last night it was Livingston with Congressman-elect Troy Downing was there. So the message really is for all people. Hanukkah, some people think Hanukkah is a competition, the Jewish competition for Christmas. But the truth is that Hanukkah predated Christianity by about 150 years. And if it wasn't for Judah the Maccabee and those warriors who fought against the Syrian Greek tyrannical behavior, then there wouldn't be Christianity and there wouldn't be Islam, because there wouldn't be Judaism either. Because most of the Jews surrendered to the Greeks, and it was only a small group of them that said, hell no, not in our land, not in our city. We will fight for our religious freedom and the ability to have faith and practice our religion in freedom.
So you had mentioned that the menorah, one of the things is to basically, you know, shine a light in a dark world. It reminded me of a proverb I recently read. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given." And so I view sort of, hey, let's provide a little light in the world. All it takes is just show a little graciousness and pity on the poor, help them out, do what you can to help somebody less prosperous than you, right?
100%. And I think that, you know, the darkness sometimes is so strong that people feel like they're insufficient. They don't have what it takes. And the truth is that to fight darkness, you don't, sometimes you need an army, but most people, the average citizen that wants to fight darkness, the best way to fight darkness is not only to light a candle, but to be that candle. Wherever you go, like you said, graciousness, kindness, benevolence, a beautiful good morning like Joseph did to the other prisoners when he was in jail in the book of Genesis, just a genuine good morning and being a light to someone that's less fortunate or more vulnerable can truly transform the world and allow people to realize that being religious is not something you do in synagogue, church, or mosque. Being religious is how you live your life every day. And if mankind can't stand you, then you're doing something wrong, because God doesn't like those who mankind doesn't like. So we got to be good people, genuine people, religious, faithful people, but always take care of the stranger and the person who's in a more vulnerable situation than we may be in.
I love that message. I think that is so important this time of year, especially. And it breaks my heart thinking about people, Americans and people around the world, too, you know, struggling financially during this time of year. It's just such a sad thing to think about. But we know what's happening.
Yeah, and for us, I mean, we still have over 100 hostages. Over 18 months later, over 100 hostages still being held by the evil forces of Hamas. We pray for their return every day. We keep shining the light on the goodness in the world. And we keep fighting for all that is good, for those that are still being held in underground tunnels. I mean, it's hard to fathom babies that are being held for over 18 months in dungeons in Gaza. And so we light the menorah, we pray to God, and we hope and that good things are coming down the pike.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. What other updates do you have for our listeners?
Well, all your listeners can always reach out to us through our website, jewishmontana.com. There's menorah lighting all over the state. Missoula, Kalispell, Whitefish, Great Falls, Helena. But if they need a menorah, if anyone in any of your listeners need a menorah for the second half of Hanukkah, or they need candles, or they need a dreidel, or they need something fun for the holiday, they can always reach out to us, and we'd be happy to provide it and get it to them ASAP.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Rabbi, we're up against the break here. If you have the time, stick with us through the next break. If you got to run, I understand. One thing I'm kind of hopeful about is that with the Trump administration coming into office, hopefully we can get all of the hostages back safely, and let's provide, security and friendship to Israel. Curious to get the rabbi's take on that. If he has time, we'll be right back. David Noble in for Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble with the K, filling in for Aaron Flint here on December 30th, 2024. We're talking to Rabbi Chaim Brook out of Bozeman. Rabbi, thanks for sticking with us through the break there.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, I was talking right before we went there, and you know, we were talking about the menorah and the purpose and meaning behind that, and what's going on in the world. And then I kind of was sort of transitioning into kind of, let's look to the future a little bit here in terms of, frankly, I'm hopeful Trump can get the hostages back and provide good friendship and security to Israel like we historically have. And I guess I'd be curious to kind of hear your thoughts on that and kind of whatever else you want to add.
Well, first of all, I think it's quite ironic that we have people in the United States who claim that Jews don't have an inherent connection to the land of Israel, even if you're not a biblical, even if you don't believe in the Bible, which is a problem in itself. But the Bible obviously talks about the Jewish people and Abraham and their connection to the land of Israel going back 4,000 years. But even Hanukkah itself, the holiday that we're celebrating right now, took place throughout the land of Israel with the Maccabees fighting against the invaders. Now, this is, again, before Christianity, before Islam, the idea that anyone can claim ownership or connection to the land more than the actual inheritors of that land going back 4,000 years is ridiculous. And as far as the new administration, listen, they've been very, very clear that they're going to stand with Israel, and they recognize something that used to be basic knowledge, which is that it's a two-way street. Israel provides incredible security and military guidance to the American government through their operation around the world, whether it's the Mossad and other organizations. And Israel and America provides Israel with financial support for the Iron Dome and other things that help protect the Jewish citizens of the land of Israel. And so I do believe that that's going to get stronger. I believe the new ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, will be a great asset, an asset for the state of Israel and for America. But more importantly, I hope it will educate these young kids on college campuses who have been sold a load of goods that is simply inaccurate, simply untrue about who is the inheritor and the rightful people that belong to the land of Israel. And for the last 18 months, it's been an uphill battle to explain these young people that they've been sold some really negative information that it simply isn't true. But I do believe that that is going to shift. I think here in Montana, we've been very blessed with leadership that understands that, both Senator Daines and Senator-elect Xi, as well as the governor. And both our congressmen understand that Israel is a vital partner with the United States. And not just because America is giving Israel what they need, but because Israel gives America plenty as well. And that's the part that I think most Americans don't realize.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, especially about Montana's leaders, too. And, you know, I went to law school down in Miami, Florida, and some of my best friends are Jewish folks. And I always send them, you know, Gianforte's tweets and Governor Gianforte's statements, because it's pretty regular that Governor Gianforte will put out a statement, Montana stands with Israel, and I always love that, and I share that with all my Jewish friends from law school.
And for me, it was quite eye-opening back in May, because I went up for a meeting with the governor, and I walked up to his office, and I saw an Israeli flag right next to the American flag, and I asked about it. I had no idea that was there, and I was told by the governor that he put it up for the hostages, and he's not going to take it down until the hostages come home. I mean, think about that. I did not, you know, it wasn't like a rabbi went to the governor and said, hey, could you put up an Israeli flag? I don't even have an Israeli flag in my synagogue. It's an American synagogue. My point is that on his own, the governor has stood up for the people of Israel, but not just the people of Israel. It's not about Israel. It's not about Zionism. That's just the cover. It's the raising of the ugly head of anti-Semitism that has come back to life. It's coming from the far right, from people like Candace Owens and, you know, Fuentes, whatever his name is. It's coming from the far left, from people like Joy Reid and people like Mehdi Hassan. And we as a people, the average citizen in America, needs to learn more so we're educated, so we can stand up and not just say, oh, I have a Jewish friend who's a great guy, but realize that this is purely a battle between evil and good, the way it was during the original story of Hanukkah. And we have a choice to make as a country. Are we standing on the side of good? Even if the team good makes mistakes sometimes, they're still good. Or are we going to stand with evil? And that will speak for itself, as it did in the early 1940s and the late 1930s.
Yeah, no, I was while you were talking there, I was just thinking to myself, it's like, okay, I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. Oh, and also, by the way, I support Israel not just because of I'm a Christian or because I believe the Bible, but because what you were saying, I support good over evil. But more importantly, I support American national security interests, and it's in America's best interests to have a very, very strong relationship with Israel.
Of course. I mean, does anyone think that Iran or Russia or Syria, remember, all these people were speaking how Bashar al-Assad was such a great guy and Israel such a problem in the Middle East. And suddenly everyone's talking about how terrible Assad is. Does anyone think that Syria, Iran, Russia, Libya is going to provide national security help to the United States? Or they think that countries like Israel and others like the UK will provide that help? So we have to just be very smart and strategic. In addition to the biblical values, also be practical. And if the people screaming death to America are not going to be the ones that are going to help America, it's the people who celebrate American values and celebrate religious freedom in America that will stand with America time and time again. And that's why the Israel-American bond is so strong. It's not because of AIPAC, and it's not because of money, and it's not because of all the other blood libels. It's simply because we have a country to protect, and Israel is willing to help us protect our country, and therefore we're willing to help them protect theirs.
Amen to that. You tell that story about Governor Gianforte. I've got a very similar story about Attorney General Austin Knutson. Austin Knutson had a political fundraiser or campaign event here in Billings, and I showed up to support him. And I walked in, and right there at the entry, a big stack of big posters that say, I stand with Israel, and it's all in blue, and it's got the Star of David on it. I grabbed one of those. I actually have it hanging up in the background of my Twitch live stream right now. If you go and watch any of my YouTube videos or any of my Twitch videos, you'll see a sign in the back with the blue Star of David that says, we stand with Israel. And that was the sign that Attorney General Austin Knutson had at his campaign fundraisers. And it was during the time of shortly after the hostages had been taken and things like that. So, it's wonderful to see these Montana leaders.
The Attorney General showed up at our synagogue right after October 7th, a couple weeks after, with a whole team of his security, representing the federal government and the state government, to let me know as a rabbi what we have on the books already in the state law, that in case we were ever intimidated or threatened by anti-Jewish, anti-Israel people, that he was there to have our back as a representative of law enforcement. That was uninitiated. He showed up and said, Rabbi, he pulled out a bunch of sheets of paper with the codes of the law and said, if anything goes down, we have your back. And for a Jewish person in America, or anywhere for that matter, to know that we live in a state where our leadership has our back is very, very vital, because I don't think the Jews in New York feel the same way these days.
No, they definitely don't. That's an incredible story. I had never heard that. That's an amazing story. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, we feel very, very blessed to live in Montana, and we're very grateful to the average citizen of Montana who does know the difference between evil and good, and specifically because we have so many amazing veterans that served our country here living in Montana, and they've seen the face of evil, so they know that Israel and the Jewish people are not the ones they have to be worried about. I've never heard anyone say, "Ooh, I better not go into that neighborhood. It's a Jewish neighborhood. I might get in trouble." I've never heard anyone in my life say that, because we're not people that look for trouble. But we are a people that are tired of surrendering to evil, and therefore we're going to stand up. We're going to fight for Israel to live in peace. There's over 10 million people living in Israel, including over 2 million Arabs. And the Israeli army defends the Arabs just as they defend the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, the Baha'is, the Buddhists. And we will continue to be a beacon of light, not just in the Middle East, but wherever Jewish people are, wherever our synagogues are, from Bozeman to Kalispell to Missoula to Billings to Great Falls. We will continue to be a shining light of goodness and holiness, and hopefully the world realizes that good is good and evil is evil, and they don't get mixed up between the two.
Amen to that. Well, hey, we've only got a couple of minutes left here in this segment. Before I let you go, I guess I'll just give you a chance to make some closing comments here, and then I'll let you go. And then and any folks out there want to call in, we have open phones the second half of the hour here, 294-0970. But Rabbi, thanks so much for joining us, and feel free to make any closing comments.
No, I just want to wish the entire state of Montana a happy Hanukkah, and thank you for being such amazing friends and neighbors of the Jewish community. We consider ourselves wonderful fellow Montanans, and we wish the rest of the country would follow in the footsteps of Montana and treat their neighbor the way they want to be treated. As the Talmud says, don't do unto others what you don't want done to you, and therefore it works the other way as well. You should always treat others the way you want to be treated, and if we can live like that, the world will be a much brighter and more illuminated place.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so much, Rabbi Chaim Brook out of Bozeman, joining us here on Montana Talks. Really, really appreciate that. We only got a couple of minutes left, actually 1 minute left here during this segment. Then we're going to be taking phone calls here. So if you want to call in right now, call in and you'll get on the show here during the statewide 9 o'clock hour. We've got all four phone lines open, 406-294-0970, or send a message on the Montana Talks app. You know what I just realized? I didn't cover any of the stories in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. This one actually is actually kind of surprising, because I think a lot of people don't know this, but Montana population growth has actually significantly slowed to the where it is now lagging a lot of other states. The rapid growth Montana experienced has reversed, according to data released just December 19th by the Census Bureau. Although still growing in population, the rate of growth has deaccelerated. The population increase of only 6,000 people in 2024 is still a significant jump, but it falls far short of the 9,000 new residents in 23. Montana's population is now 1,137,000. Montana's population had spiked in 2020 and 2021, gaining nearly 20,000 residents during those years. The decline is attributed to housing scarcity and the rising cost of living. So, you know, there's a couple of different ways you could take this point, but the Democrats were trying to. Anyway, it's ironic, because the reason the population growth has declined is because nobody can afford to move here anymore, and only billionaires can basically afford to move here because housing is so expensive. And Democrats want to think that's a victory? Not sure about that one. We'll be right back.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Confusion continues for farmers, ranchers, and small business owners after the Corporate Transparency Act took yet another legal turn late last week. Now, we did report last week that the injunction that kept the Corporate Transparency Act from taking effect was overturned. That occurred on Monday, December 23rd. But then on Friday, the full Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals reinstated that injunction. Following the situation closely is Kent Backus with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
This is something that's going to need some long-term permanent solutions. And quite frankly, we're going to need a lot of answers to questions that we don't have those answers right now. As this legal process unfolds, you know, we're going to say on top of this, it looks like the Fifth Circuit's not going to hear oral arguments on this until March 25th. So unless the Supreme Court intervenes between now and then I think we're going to have a little bit of a sigh of relief. But you know, unfortunately, we've said that before and then had to come right back on and issue some corrections just because this process has been all over the place.
A big reversal from last Monday's announcement, but yes, the Corporate Transparency Act is again on hold, but it has not gone away. Do not ignore this. I'll continue to track this. Whatever questions you may have, make sure and contact your CPA or attorney. I'm Lane Northline.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint, and boy, hard for me to kind of move on from that conversation we just had with Rabbi Chaim Brook out of Bozeman, because that was such a powerful conversation and so important and so deep and meaningful for me to, you know, to flip over to, you know, a story about the EU wanting to ban e-cigarettes. You know, kind of hard to do, but I'm going to do it. This is out of the EU. I find this interesting because it shows how hypocritical Democrats and leftists are when it comes to things like marijuana, alcohol, and tobacco. They want to ban cigarettes and they want to heavily go after tobacco and you know, viciously attack tobacco and ban e-cigarettes and all this other stuff. But then they want more marijuana usage out there. Like, does somebody please make it make sense to me. Somebody please call in and explain why on earth do Democrats and leftists hate tobacco so much but love marijuana? Does that make any sense to anybody? Am I the only one confused by the... Here's the story. Belgium will ban the sale of disposable e-cigarettes as of January 1st. On health and environmental grounds, in a groundbreaking move for the EU... And by the way, folks, I always like to cover stories out of the UK and out of Europe because they're very, very important for us here in the United States, because they tell us exactly where we're headed if we don't stop the Democrats, because the Democrats want to take us to the same place that Canada and Australia and the UK and Europe already are. Whether we're talking about taxes, socialism and social programs, you know, socialized medicine, gun control, you name it. They want those policies. And so a health minister in Belgium said the inexpensive e-cigarettes had turned into a health threat. Really? But 75% THC dabs available at the marijuana store, that's not a health threat? But an e-cigarette is? Oh, man, disposable e-cigarettes is a new product designed to attract new consumers. Yeah, they are. They are products, and they are designed to attract. Anyway, that's that story. Elon Musk is apparently taking Ozempic. Pretty disappointed on that one. Billionaire Elon Musk posted a photo of himself on X saying he's Ozempic Santa. I saw another tweet on this, and this kind of matches kind of how I feel about this, but doesn't this whole Ozempic thing kind of feel like opioids 2.0? Why are we expected to trust the big pharmaceutical companies? Oh, because the FDA approved it. Oh, so we're supposed to trust the big pharmaceutical companies because the FDA approved it. Oh, we're supposed to trust the government in D.C. on that one, are we? Oh, how'd they do on in the past on those issues? Oh, not very well. Okay. All right. Here's the other thing. Okay, so we missed the woke update of the week on Thursday. This is what I was thinking earlier, and I was like, oh, you know what? And then I was like, oh, it's actually Monday, if you can believe it. But last Thursday, we didn't get to do a woke update. But here's one. The former Pixar staffers break down because a trans storyline was cut from a kid's show. Quote, can't tell you how much I cried. Former Pixar staffers are experiencing emotional meltdowns after Disney decided to remove a transgender storyline from a children's series called Win or Lose. That one,
could be a pretty good woke update here. Let's go to Al in Bozeman. Al, thanks for calling.
Yeah, buddy, how you doing? Listen, marijuana and tobacco. Marijuana doesn't have nicotine. Nicotine is what they spray on the tobacco in Virginia to hook people, to get them addicted. I've seen people smoke cigarettes through trachs in their throat. 400,000 a year dead from cigarettes. How many died from marijuana last year?
I don't.
Now, let me ask you something.
I don't know. No.
Okay, so you're saying that they're the same thing? 400,000 dead?
No, I was saying no. I was saying to you, like, I don't think any died from marijuana, if I recall.
Exactly. And what I'm saying to you is that would you rather see people drunk, alcoholics on Budweiser all day going, "I love you, man, you're my buddy, man," or would you just prefer some pothead sat home and listen to the Dark Side of the Moon? Now, Americans, we have the choice. Let us decide. Don't tell us what we can, what we can't do, what we can imbibe. Okay, you're already taxing us till we can't breathe. You're taking every nickel.
So, Al, I think you're on the same. I think we're on the same page, Al, because I bring up the point to point out how hypocritical it is of the left to want to ban e-cigarettes. Or are you? Because you're saying, hey, we're adults, we're Americans, we have freedom. If we want to use alcohol or tobacco or marijuana, we should have the right to do that. That's your position, right?
Absolutely. Why
okay.
Not?
So you agree with me then? You agree with me then that when the left or the Democrats want to ban tobacco or e-cigarettes or all these, that's hypocritical, isn't it, of them?
Well, the Democrats are full of shit. Okay, I just listen to everything they say that makes me sick. Okay, everything blah 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 blah. Do it this way, do it that way. They don't know nothing. They're just trying to basically make themselves relevant. Okay, but I'm saying to you is you got 70 dispensaries or how many dispensaries now in Bozeman? Are there any wild-eyed lunatics with knives running up and down the street cutting anybody? No.
That's a fair point. Fair point. Thank you so much for the call. Caden, the producer, says, as someone who is an avid vapor he's about 6 months clean, the limiting / banning of e-vape / cigarettes is much needed. They're not regulated to the level of other tobacco-based items and are much worse for your body with all the extra chemicals in them, not to mention the pull they have on young adults and teens. I think that's a strong counterargument. I don't know that much about the e-cigarettes, honestly, or vaping. I don't know that much about it. I have heard of this something called, like, I have heard of there being health effects from vaping and e-cigarettes. I understand that, and certainly they are targeted towards kids, and that's a problem. But for me, when it comes to, okay, that's sort of important, but when it comes to actual policy at the governmental level, I have a hard time, you know, anytime the government wants to try to control individuals, you know, that's where I draw the line. Now, are there, you know, regulations needed on e-cigarettes the way regular cigarettes are? I have no idea. I really don't know that much about it. But I just find that the real reason I brought it up was because it's just, and then, you know, think about, here's one. Remember when you used to be able to smoke inside a bar if you wanted to? And by the way, folks, I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't want to go into a bar where people are smoking cigarettes. But I do think that if you're a private property owner and you own real estate and you've got a building on your real estate and you want to invite some people onto your private property and they all want to come over and you all agree that it's okay if we smoke inside here, it's called America. You should be able to do that. The fact that we have the government banning, you know, smoking cigarettes inside and viciously going after tobacco at the same time where there really is just sort of just this no holds barred attitude towards marijuana, I just find it a little inconsistent. Now, Alan Bozeman, I think, makes actually a genuinely good point about problems associated with alcohol. But anyway, that's just that story. The Pixar employees being upset that the kids story got cut, or the trans story got cut out of the kids movie, is another kind of good story. Multiple former Pixar staffers have expressed sorrow and dismay. When, by the way, Disney actually cutting the trans piece out of the kids story, it is frankly surprising in and of itself, newsworthy in and of itself. That's what's going on with Disney. I think they must recognize the reality here. Oh, the other thing. Well, what was it? I was watching something else, and this was really cool to learn about. But I was watching an interview, was it with I can't remember who it was or where I saw this, but it was an interview of somebody who knows a lot about what's going on in Hollywood. And what's going on right now in Hollywood, apparently, according to this interview, which I can't even cite because I can't remember it right now, but what they said is a lot of the big movie production studios are searching for movies that are based on Americana and or faith. And I think they realize, and they're doing that because they've recognized box office numbers and basically viewing and profits of content. When you actually put out a movie that's pro-America, that celebrates Americana, that's pro-faith, that's a faith-based movie, it's actually doing much better financially and economically than a lot of these other movies out there that are super, super woke. And so you see that, and then you couple that piece of information with this Disney decision to cut that part out of the kids' story. That's kind of some hopeful news there. That's some positive stuff. All right, folks, we're getting the music coming in. Hey, if you got to call in, you got one more segment left to be on. 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970. I got a bunch of other stories here that I haven't gotten to yet. Luckily, we have another show tomorrow. I can play catch up. I got through a lot of what I wanted to today, but we've just got a couple more minutes here together, folks. And then we've got one more live show tomorrow. And then, of course, the holiday. And then I believe Aaron Flint is going to be back. It's going to be great.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, apparently In-N-Out Restaurant is having to leave Oakland, California in their first closure of permanent nature ever. Because it is, quote-unquote, absolutely dangerous crime rate in Oakland. The owner of In-N-Out said they were forced to close the Oakland restaurant due to a relentless crime wave. Absolutely dangerous conditions. 300 days of violence in 1 year. That's almost some amount of violence almost every single day at the Oakland In-N-Out burger shop. What's interesting about that story is what Scott Aspenlighter and Jennifer Owen were talking about on the show a couple of days ago about how important it is for cities in Montana to get the crime under control. And that's an example right there. And you talk about, you know, oh, well, maybe businesses aren't going to want to come to a city if it's got a reputation for crime like Billings kind of does. Although, frankly, I love Billings, so I'm a big fan. And I do think we gotta do better with getting the crime under control. I think that temporary house or temporary holding facility they're building here is a good step. But this goes for every community across Montana in terms of the importance of getting crime under control. Not only will it prevent people from coming to your community if you've got a reputation of crime or just high crime statistics, but you'll start to see what's going on in Oakland where businesses will actually start clearing out and leaving, which is why, you know, having people like Austin Knutson at the Attorney General's office, you know, having good sheriffs, having, you know, good city councils, good mayors, good police departments, having good state laws on the books, having facilities that can hold people when they're arrested, all of that stuff, obviously critically important. Of course, it doesn't get to the root problem or the root cause of any of these things, which is obviously broken families and broken religions. A Florida Democrat just became a Republican. And a member of the state house in Florida has become the second Florida House Democrat to join the Republicans. The representative said she switched to the Republicans, citing support for a better, more prosperous Florida amongst the Republicans, as well as skepticism over the Democrat Party's support for Israel. She said, as a mother, I want to help build a world where children are judged on their character and their actions, not their labels. As a proud Jewish woman, I've been increasingly troubled by the Democrat Party's failure to unequivocally support Israel and its willingness to tolerate extreme progressive voices that justify or condone acts of terrorism. Honestly, she sounds like Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz basically has left the Democrat Party because of the anti-Semitism that they refuse to address within the Democrat Party. So good for them. Good news. I'd send the invitation out to any Montana Democrats, too. Any Montana Democrats out there, you know, want to join the Republican Party because the Democrat Party has gone so extreme and has condoned all of those issues. Feel free. We would welcome you. I don't know if anybody had the chance to watch any mainstream media lately. I hope you didn't. I certainly hope you didn't watch Meet the Press or Face the Nation or anything like that this weekend. Yesterday, I certainly hope you didn't do that. I did watch some of it, so you didn't have to. All you have to do is listen to this show, and we'll summarize the garbage that came up on the Sunday shows. But on Meet the Press, for example, yesterday, they had some doctor on that was talking about the bird flu and how we have to massively increase testing for bird flu. And we're really concerned that there's going to be a combination of the bird flu virus is going to mutate with COVID and we're going to have this super virus and it's going to be horrible, horrible, horrible. Well, apparently a GOP congressman has slammed the doctor for imploring Biden to fast track a bird flu vaccine, quote unquote, hell no, he says. Former Baltimore health commissioner Dr. Wen, this was who was on Meet the Press. Dr. Wen suggested that Joe Biden should push the FDA to authorize the bird flu vaccine. There are 66 cases of bird flu, of human cases of bird flu, in the entire country. Oh, man. There actually is a vaccine developed already against the bird flu, this doctor said. The Biden admin has contracted with manufacturers to make 5 million doses of the vaccine. However, they have not asked the FDA to authorize the vaccine. Oh, huh. So there's a contract with the big pharmaceutical companies to make 5 million doses of bird flu, and there's some doctor on TV saying it needs to be fast-tracked and we need to buy all these. You know who that benefits the most? That definitely, definitely benefits the pharmaceutical companies the most. Elon Musk on Ozempic. I personally would be skeptical of taking Ozempic or any of those weight loss drugs. But I'm also not the one that's suggesting we fast track a bunch of vaccines and do 5 million doses from Big Pharma. So, you know, there's that. Governor Chris Sununu also on the Sunday shows yesterday. They always have the same people on the Sunday shows. And it's always Chris Christie, Chris Sununu, you know, all these guys like that. I don't know. It's just like they like the moderate Republicans. They like the establishment Republicans. But Governor Chris Sununu said that Elon Musk has no conflict of interest with anything he's doing because he's so rich that money could never impact him, which is kind of a funny way to look at it. It's like, yeah, when you've got $400 billion, $500 billion, do you really care if your company gets its next, you know, $10 million contract? Maybe not. But Chris Sununu, I think, also maybe just trying to cozy up to Elon Musk. We'll be back tomorrow, folks. Thanks for listening.